You're watching The DM with celeb stylist Audrey Brianne and fashion publicist Tyree Robinson. We are in season 3 of our podcast where we review the best in costume design in film and television.
We'll now feature live episodes with celebrated costume designers and fashion stylists. We're thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Room Service at Beverly Center. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of The DM with Audrey Brianne and Tyree. We are honored to have 8-time Emmy-nominated costume designer Michelle Cole.
She is known for her work on, are you ready, Martin and Living Color, Black-ish, Grown-ish, The Bernie Mac Show, and so much more.
Michelle, congratulations on your latest Emmy nomination.
Thank you. We're very, very, very excited. And we're very thrilled, very, very honored. So thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got your start?
Oh boy, that's a lot. let's see. A little bit about myself. I started costume designing probably when I was 16 years old. I did it out of our garage. My parents were into theater. My stepmother taught at a high school. So I would go to theater all the time with her and go see plays. And so how I started would I start painting sets in the back, and then I started doing costumes. So I started at a pretty young age. And then Audrey Hepburn was one of my favorite icons to watch. And I just loved her, and I loved everything that she wore. And I just started going into costume designing. Then I went to college in Kentucky. My parents are from Kentucky, so I went there. And graduated and then started at Young and the Restless in the stock room with Kathy Nishimoto down the street. And so started there, started at the bottom, and then working in the stock room, then went to starting on the floor, being a set person, started from that, then going to shop. And then from there, then my career started taking on with, like, I met the costume designer who did 227 and all the Jefferson and all of, and she was a black costume designer. Yeah. So I got with her, and then I became the set person for 227 years ago.
Wow.
And then the first person I started shopping for was Regina King when she was on 227.
Aww.
So I think she was 13 or 14 years old.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so
little.
She was little. And then that was, I used to go to Orbach's. I don't know if you know that store, but it was on Wilshire. So I would go there and go shopping for her. And that was starting of my, kind of my career.
That's so amazing.
Wow.
So it kind of segues into the next question, which is, when you book a project, like, what is your creative process of, like, when you first get that gig?
My first, well, let's start with In Living Color. That was my first union job as a costume designer when I first got into the guild. And so when I first started with Keenan Ivory Wayans, we would do drawings. And everything was built because nothing was created. Everything, you know, from Fire Marshal Bill to everything on that show. So we would do renders and show it to him. We would get all these scripts. It was a really heavy duty script because he would have about 20 to 30 sketches to do a week. So it was really a lot. And we would know the color of the sets. So you start to know where the sets are. So you start to do the research on that. And the colors of the set, what color lighting you were going to use, and then we'd do the drawings, and then we'd present them to Keenan Ivory Wayans, and then he would approve it or not approve it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we would start doing the fabrics, and but it was faster than what I'm talking right now. It was because you didn't have time on that show, so it was, we would get to work at like 6 a.m. and then leave at about 2 o'clock in the morning, so it was a lot of long hours.
That is a long day.
Yeah, so our research was... So when you asked me that question about In Living Color, because it was so much out of your mind, you would just kind of, my research would come like in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping or something.
Yeah.
So, and I had tons of books. I love books. I love research books. So I have library full of, that's probably one gift that everybody gives me is books.
That's
you know,
amazing.
Books on homelessness, books on this, you know, books on Jewish culture, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I have all these picture books that I love. So I would pick from those books.
So every job you're doing that is?
Almost every job. I still use books. I still love my books.
Wow,
so,
that's really cool.
I mean, I go on the internet and I look. But one of the things that I love to do, I love to travel. I love museums. So I draw a lot from museums. You know, I love going to the Norton Simon Huntington Library.
Okay.
So like going to Paris or, you know, going to different places. And then it kind of stays in your mind.
Yeah.
And I just love textures of, like, when, like, you see an evening gown, you can almost, you know it by that it's velvet. Mm-hmm. So I tend to like love stuff like that where you can look at a painting and going, okay, that's velvet. Yeah. They use this, and you get to use your imagination. Yeah. So I love going to plays, still love going to the museum a lot, and also just watching people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love to watch people, you know.
That's so cool. It sounds like all the time, like you're thinking about the
constantly,
creative process.
Constantly, yeah. Magazines are probably, but since I do boards and I have to do them for like Black-ish and all, you know, Bernie Mac and all, Martin Lawrence and all the other shows I've done, is that you still have to do the magazines, you still have to do that because you still have to present that to your executive producers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a lot of times it's here.
Yeah.
So it's the photos stay in my mind of people that I see, or I see somebody crossing going, I love that.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
So working on classic shows from the 90s, like In Living Color or Martin, I know like Jerome wore like MCM. Mm-hmm. What do you think about like trends from the 90s now? Are they the same? Are they different? Or like, how did that transition?
It's funny that they're back. I got to work with Carl Kanai and Cross Color, so I still know them, you know, and I still get to use them on Black-ish, you know, when we have flashbacks for Anthony Anderson's character for Dre. So we get to use it. So it's still fun, but it's a lot of fun back in the 90s, you know, when you were doing it, especially when you were doing it in Living Color, and you would have the singers at the end, at the end with the credits rolling and the Fly Girls. And so there's nothing like the 90s, but I love seeing, you know, you get to repeat it in a lot of the fashion. So it's really, I mean, it's great. And also seeing, what's the musician who did the, and Carly B did the video.
I don't know, but they wore the MCM outfits.
And they were the Fly Girls. They used kind of the sets on. They used the set. They mocked up the set. Oh, God, 24 Karats.
Okay.
What's that?
Bruno Mars?
Yes. And then he did a take on In Living Color Fly Girls.
Oh, okay.
With Carly B.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah.
Okay.
So that was really cool to see that happen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So who are some of your style icons, and who do you look up to in the industry?
That one, you know, that's a tough question. Because there's so many people that you totally admire. You know, there's so many people that inspire me. And one of them is, I think, who comes off to my first in my head and when I think about being a costume designer is Francine Jameson. Mm-hmm. Being a Black costume designer, being in this business, and you really didn't know her, that she was in this business. So I call her the queen. That's my nickname for her. And because I just think that she was a hidden gem, and we didn't really know that there was this Black supervisor, and then Glory being her, you know, her movie, which was an amazing movie to do, is that I look up a lot to her, you know, spiritually, physically, emotionally. I just think that she's such a, and of course there's Ruth Carter, and there's Sharon Davis, and there's so many more, Ceci, there's so many, and everybody has a great unique style about themselves, you know, and I love that. I think that we all have something to offer, and we all kind of have our own little purpose, but I think her, and like I said before, I love Audrey Hepburn. I loved the whole 40s movies. My dad and I would go to movies together, and that was one of our big things, and we'd go see Godspell and see all the old classics, so I tend to like a lot of the old actresses back then.
Do you notice any difference in being a female African American in the industry? Like, do you feel that the playing field has been one of equality?
I don't think we're there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we're there. I think we're getting there. I think we've started. I think the fact that nothing good is from the pandemic, you know, that's a very dangerous thing. Yeah, it was a very hard thing to go through. But I think it helped open the doors to a lot of things, you know, diversity, and it helped open the door, I think, to a lot of the unions, making them aware, a lot of the locals making them aware that there are a bunch of, you know, a lot of us brown, Black-skinned people that are really talented.
Yeah.
And it did open up the playing field, but are we leveled? I don't think so. I think we still have a little bit more work to do with that.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. But I love the door. The door has been open.
Yep.
And so I think that we have some more work.
I think it's time for people to, we talk the talk during the pandemic, and now it's time to walk the walk. And see that people are actually doing things.
And I love being a Black woman in this business.
Yeah.
I love it, you know, and I love being, and being a part of this and seeing it and seeing the movement in it. And, you know, and I think in a couple of years we'll see some more change, and I think we'll start to see a lot more change. And Sal Perez is our president of our board, you know, CDG board, and we have a board, our board of directors. And I think they're really hitting the ground running with this, so I'm really proud to be part of that as well.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
So working on Blackish and Grownish, do you feel like you work and live in multiple generations, or are you guys like one big family? How do you feel about that?
Grownish is, yeah, we are one big family. Okay. We are. We're definitely shot on the same lot. So okay. We're one big family. And but it is too different because Grownish is like college kids, you know.
Yeah.
And they're I love that show. They're so much fun, and
we love it too.
And you know, but you learn so much from them.
Yeah.
You know, being a designer, you know, you thought you would never get another break, like you see in Living Color, you see the Fly Girls.
Yeah.
And then that is just so cool, right? And then you're having so much fun with that, and you're thinking, okay, that part of your life and that chapter is closed.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get this opportunity to do, at my age, to do Grownish, and it's just so much fun to like create, and the clothes and hair and everything, so beautiful. And then also you get to have Blackish, where you have, I mean, Tracy Ross, you get to dress her, and Anthony, and you know, it's just a great, and that's a family setting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is, I mean, so you get to dress these people in beautiful clothes in their kitchen and their living room, and you know, all these things. So I think, and someone wrote a couple days to me saying, thank you so much, Michelle Cole, for making Black America look beautiful, you know.
Oh,
and that was such
sweet.
A big compliment, you know, because I never thought it really about that.
So the show is, it's 30 minutes long,
yes.
Blackish, and there's a lot of wardrobe changes.
There are.
So we were curious with Tracy, can you give us like a rough number of about like how many times you change her per episode?
Well, when we do ABC, we have 22 minutes and something?
Yeah, with the commercials.
With the commercials, and so 8 to 10 sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, last year was a little bit different because we had the pandemic and we were being very cautious of all the changes and wear the clothes, and you know, we had to do all the protocol.
Yeah.
So, but normally she's 8 to 10 changes, you know. So, and Anthony is too. They all are. They all are just they're loaded. They have a lot of changes, and we get the script on Monday. We have a concept meeting, we have our production meeting. We hit the ground running, you know. So we get it. There's a closet, we go shopping, we do, and we have fittings, and then it's on the rack set up to be shot on a Monday. So it's up and going and done.
Fast.
So it's very fast. You're doing a miniature feature like every single week, you know, and then you have your extras, then you have the schools, then you have, you know, their activities or whatever that it is, but it's a miniature feature every single week that we do on the show.
At this point, like, are you used to the pace of it, or are there times where it throws you a little, where you're like, ooh, this is real fast? Like,
no, because I've been doing this my whole career.
Yeah.
So I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
So it's and then when I was doing Bernie Mac, we didn't have hiatuses. Back in the day, you didn't have hiatuses.
Okay.
And now you have, you'll work 3 or 4 weeks and then you'll have 1 week off.
Yeah.
And then the writers get to catch up. We get to catch up a little bit. The actors get a little break, and and so we don't, so we just, when I heard of that we're going to have hiatuses, I'm like, really? Because I never had one.
Yeah.
My whole career, you just kept going.
Yeah.
So I was used to that pace.
Okay.
So yeah. So they're pretty full.
You're I've got this at this point.
But when we did the one that we're nominated for, the wedding, that came up. They switched the script.
Yeah.
And they brought that in earlier, and then we had to we hit the ground running. Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. So working with a lot of fashion-y people like Tracee Ellis Ross, Yara, Luca.
Yeah.
What are fittings like? Do they have say or?
Yes, they do have. Yes, they do. They do. And you know, and Yara's my executive. She's my executive producer.
Oh, wow.
So for Grownish, so it's, I have this young, amazing, smart, talented boss, and Tracy's a producer on Blackish. So our fittings are, let's start with Luca first. Luca is a lot of fun. He's a lot of fun in fittings. He's like, yeah, man, good dude. And my assistant, my ACD, Stanley Hudson, who also did Project Runway, he does the fittings with him, and he just cracks up. He makes us laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just, and they're so much fun to do. They bring their own music on their iPhone, so they play their music while we do the fittings, and they're like, yeah, dude, you know, and he's kind of, he's just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And easy, and just loves clothes, and it's just,
he looks so good in
them,
too.
He's just,
he wears
he's
it well.
Just a great, he's just so good, and Diggy is the same way. He has his music. They all have their own music.
Oh, wow.
And they bring it in, you know, on their iPhone, so that's kind of cool. And then Tracy tends not to like music a little bit. I mean, she likes music, but not so much in fitting, so we really concentrate, and we do a breakdown, and she wants to know exactly what she's wearing for every single scene.
Yep.
So we have, so we go through that, we collaborate on that. So they have an input, like when they wear pants in a scene, or their shoes or flats, do I have to wear heels?
Yeah.
You know, that that kind of thing. So yeah, we do definitely listen to them.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And Anthony's so easy.
Yeah.
He's so easy, he really is. Mm-hmm.
So this is the end. Was it brownish or
blackish?
It's the end. Like, are you sad about that?
Yes. I mean, I've been on it since the pilot, you know, 8 years ago. And, you know, they were all 12 and 13, 14 years old.
Little babies.
So, yeah. So, and you've seen a lot of growth. So it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
It is very bittersweet. And as we were starting to pack some of the costumes up this past spring, it was a little emotional for me, you know, packing up the, some of their things and putting it in store. So they're never gonna wear again.
So
yes, it was.
On the episode that you're nominated for, the kente cloth, the jumping of the broom, how did that come about, and like, how do you feel about like Black culture, Black weddings, and like the history of that?
Beautiful.
Yes.
All of it's beautiful. It is. And our writers did that. They came up with it. And Jennifer Lewis is amazing at wanting to do anything and everything, you know. So, but she will wear, she looks amazing in head wraps.
Yes.
You know, I thought the color was just so beautiful on her. And Stanley, my ACD, we did that together. And so I went shopping for the fabric. And it was such a great, it was, we loved it. I think we had a lot of fun doing it and designing it. Go ahead.
Can I ask you how long the train was?
Oh God, I mean, it was long, wasn't it? Maybe 9 feet, I felt, or something. It was long. It was long. And she felt so good. And Jennifer felt so good. And Lawrence, and we can't forget about Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, he looked amazing. We made the suit, and he just, you know, he was this tall and thin, and he got blue lens in his glasses to match his suit. So he just looked stunning. So he really, really did. It was a beautiful wedding, and the kids.
So we know you're on the board of CDG, the Costume Designers Guild, for those of you that don't know. And you're also a member.
Yeah.
Are you, like, right now there's this huge call to action for the creatives, you know, the costume designers, to start getting their due credit with all of these like third party collaborations. Like, what's your standpoint on that issue?
Well, whatever Sal's is.
Yes.
And the board. Because,
yeah.
I mean, the board is, I mean, I'm new to the board, but it's listening, you know, you know, just doing our job. And I know that Sal's having meetings all the time. So this is, you know, it's a very serious thing right now. So we want to equal pay and everybody else. And our costumes are being seen on television, you know, and we're being seen on movies. We play such a huge part, you know, with our actors, and a huge part in entertainment, that we should be compensated for that as well, you know. So I think that this is going to be a little bit of a journey, but Sal and all of them are just, they're fighting for it. And and Nancy Steinman is on the committee, so it's pretty serious how we're going to approach this.
Because I feel like costume designers, they're like unsung heroes.
We are.
And so I'm tired of you guys not giving your credit.
Yeah.
And
making dolls and making clothes and Mona May and, you know, and all these, you know.
We just interviewed her.
We go way back. That's a dear, dear friend too. I mean, you know, you've been
she's
doing
lovely.
This. So, yeah, she's lovely. And when you've been doing this as long as we have, we all get along and have a great time together.
Nice to hear.
Clueless, I mean, come on. I mean, we're still C seen the clothes for that. Yeah. You know, so I mean.
Well, I mean, you with In Living Color, that was, although I was really young when that was on the air, that style was, like the Fly Girls was everywhere. Like every girl wanted to look
like that. An ugly woman and all those, you know, all those costumes. So yeah. I don't know if anybody would have made a doll of ugly woman. But yeah. But yeah, but it was great. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun, and you look back, and but there's a, we've done a lot of work. There's a lot of costume designers, and you know, you wouldn't know a character unless it was for the costume, kind of, and the hair and the makeup, and they play such a huge part too, the hair and makeup of it. So yeah,
Working in costume design, do you prefer like sewing or sourcing of materials? Like, how does the actual getting of the wardrobe happen?
I love still fabric shopping.
Okay.
And I'm that old school where and I love looking at runway shows. Like right now we're looking at the runway. So love looking at that. Love looking at fabrics. So I love to create. You know, I don't get a chance to do it so much on, you know, on television. But when you do like the wedding, that was fun. When you do Juneteenth, that was great.
Yeah.
The prince was all beautiful with all that was custom, and we had all the fabrics printed, you know, to match his fabrics. And his sister came out to an event, and she loved. We had all the costumes up for her to take a look at, and she loved it. So you do get a chance to do on Black-ish. Kenan Barris is our exec, you know, our creator and executive producer. And that we're able to have some of these storylines that are big storylines, and so I'm able to create theirs, you know, a few times a year, so that's good.
I read that you initially wanted to do period.
Period.
Yes.
So is there a period that you
that's
wanted
good
to
research.
Work in, or like?
I wanted Hamilton, but Paul got it. And it's like, no, but I mean, he does amazing work, and Harriet, I mean, all of that. But I studied period, and that was my first, I did theater. So, and that's how I kind of got started, with someone found this little girl, me, you know, some years ago, and they said, you have talent, and that's how I got started. But I was on My Fair Lady, doing Audrey Hepburn play. So I thought it was just like how it's weird how it just turned around. I get out of college. One of my first plays to do as an assistant designer was My Fair Lady. And that's when Audrey Hepburn did it, when that was one of her biggest movies was that movie.
Yeah.
So it's funny how things, life, how life turns around a little bit.
Speaking of college, where did you go, and do you feel that to get into this industry you need to go to a fashion institute in order to be a costume designer?
I think that I went to Eastern Kentucky University, which is in Richmond, Kentucky, but I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and I think college is good for some people. I definitely believe that. I think fashion centers and schools are great for people. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's people who just naturally have it. They're just great at what they do, just like actors. There's Al Pacino and, you know, Denzel, and there's this, and, you know, these different actors that have all these different wonderful gifts, and they're just natural at it. So I believe that there are definitely people who are gifted with this. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I don't have any other. I guess one more question.
Yeah.
How many people are on your team? Like, how are, like, you oversee the costume department, I would say, and then how many people are, like, below you?
Well, I don't like to call them below.
Oh.
That's okay. Are with you?
Yes.
How many colleagues do you have?
Yes. I have about, like, on Black-ish, probably 10, and on Grown-ish, about the same. Because the show is so fast moving that everybody, there's so many moving parts. So you have to go here, somebody has to go over there, JCPenney's, or somebody's going to Nordstrom's West Side. So there's a lot of moving parts on the on all of the shows, you know, because it's done in 5 days, I think. So I don't think people realize, like, how fast this train moves.
Yeah. But it sounds like a really well-oiled machine.
It is.
You guys have your flow that
we
you do.
We do. And I have a great team. And we collaborate every single morning. We get together every morning, and we know exactly where we're going, what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So, and I kind of I have my hands and everything in, on the rack, and as far as socks and this and that, it's pretty, I'm involved.
Yeah.
I'm overly involved.
I love it.
You do amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
But it does take an amazing team to do this. You can't do it without them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that wraps up the interview portion of things, and we've got a fun game. It's sort of rapid fire called This or That, where we're just going to ask a couple of questions of you and get your take on this or that.
Okay.
The DM is hosted in partnership with Room Service at Beverly Center, LA's premier shopping and lifestyle destination in the heart of the city. Room Service is a first of its kind private members club designed to elevate the shopping and dining experience for LA's influential creators, VIPs, stylists, and costume designers.
Membership includes complimentary valet and self-parking at Beverly Center, access to a unique and stylish member lounge, private conference and fitting rooms, and complimentary amenities such as steamers, rolling racks, snacks, and beverages.
To learn more about Room Service membership, follow us on Instagram and click the link in the bio, or visit www.beverlycenter.com.
So here you go.
The first question is going to be this, and then the second question is going to be that. So that is the game. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? The first question, the Grown-ish episode, the Teen Vogue episode, or the Halloween episode? Or you can do the middle, I don't.
The middle, what would
you're
be
like, that? I can't you're decide. Like,
do this. Yes. There's that. The middle.
You love both of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Shooting locally in LA or on location?
I like location.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you like a small wardrobe crew or a large wardrobe crew?
Big wardrobe crew.
Okay.
Period or contemporary?
I like contemporary.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. And the last one, 90s fashion or now?
No, that's in the middle.
Do you like both of them?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us, because we know you are busy, booked and busy, yes. Which we love, and just giving us some of your time, we really do appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you very much, and thank you for doing this for our industry. We really appreciate it. I think everybody does.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Guys, that wraps up our episode where we interviewed costume designer Michelle Cole.
You'll find links to Michelle Cole's website and social media in the description box below. See you next time.
Bye. If you enjoyed the show, please introduce your friends to our work, rate, review, like, and follow. Check us out on thedm.net or on Instagram at @AudreyBrienne and @TyreeStyle.
A special thank you to Nearby Sound for our theme song. The DM is produced by Joe Passarelli, Audrey Brienne, and Tyree.
Boom.